Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until 10. It is now Monday, the 6th of October. And isn't the autumn lovely when it's dry and the power is on and there isn't storm damage and so on? We're all set for the week if you have your shirts ironed or your wellies patched. But you can't trust plans anymore, can you? One minute you're running for election, the next you're having mature recollection. But tap out all your measured thoughts on the WhatsApp. That's 0870 32 32 32. And the email is open for business as well. That's oliver@rte.ie. Us culture and ready to go. Well, there you go. I spent the last week telling people if you thought the presidential election was dull and boring, then maybe you're not paying attention. And it is sensational, isn't it? And it has stepped into a multiverse of madness that we've never seen before, not even in the loop-de-loop campaigns of the past. We knew it more or less for the past week, but we can say it out loud now. The next Uachtaráin na hÉireann will be a woman. That's what we know. And while many people are asleep, including myself, didn't discover until 6 o'clock this morning that Jim Gavin had made what looks, it's a sensible decision, isn't it? And realising with that kind of wounding pragmatism that he couldn't win it now. So he is out of the race. I've met Jim Gavin. I found him unbelievably impressive on a one-to-one and working a room. Straight out, brilliant man. His talent is in kind of stripping away the ego of people and then lifting them up to be the very best version of the very best bits of themselves. He would be incredible at running a person's campaign. But I'm sure, like myself, you didn't recognise, did you, the version presented in this race by some very shonky PR from the moment he left a field gate open in that video and did a very stiff walk and talk. I was going, who is this guy? It seemed they tried to make him out to be someone he wasn't. And ultimately, he'll know himself, as he's more or less admitted in a very short statement, that a singular calamity from his past was the downfall. A mean-spirited mistake 16 years ago as a landlord that he couldn't deny. And what a price he has paid for that. Fionnán Sheehan broke that story in the Irish Independent on Saturday. And you kind of knew in the context of the housing disaster, withheld rent, that this was the end. And he exits with a short paragraph and presumably returns to the Irish Aviation Authority a bruised man. The race does carry on without him, but his name apparently will remain on the ballot paper. The reports say that you can't withdraw under the legislation after the close of nomination under the law. Will they find some kind of fudge that they can remove the name, or are they printed already for an election on the 24th of October? It'll be bizarre. The election is now two candidates, Catherine Connolly and Heather Humphreys. That is the order, alphabetically. And tomorrow is the last day to register to vote or change your address. Check the register.ie, by the way. The debates will continue. And the next debate is going to be here on RT Radio 1. It's drive time. They're going to hold a debate later this week. The exact date, we don't know. I presume it'll be post-budget. And there's also going to be the Katie Hannan big interview live. It's going to start on Wednesday. Catherine Connolly will be the first candidate live at 7 p.m. on RTE1 television. So extraordinary stuff. Jim Gavin was meant to be on today with Claire Byrne as the third of the one-to-one interviews with the three candidates. Obviously not happening now, but that show will be busy enough anyway. But when you look at the amount of debates that are left and interviews, they are going to be grueling affairs with only in a two-person election, hour-long debates maybe with just two people, and our PR system maybe becomes irrelevant unless the name stays in the ballot. It's very strange. But we haven't had a presidential contest between only two people since 1973, when two men back then, Erskine Childers and Tom O'Higgins, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. Childers won, but of course he died in office very soon afterwards. That's more than 50 years ago. So good luck to both women who are still in the campaign, in the contest, and their beloveds, because the pressure and the intensity on both of them has just been turned up to maximum. There is no place to hide, is there, in a two-person contest? And 18 days is a very long time in politics. Looking across the wider political story and the wider system, if they thought the politicians in the Dáil could hide away during a presidential election, government and opposition, they were very sorely mistaken. This is Taoiseach Micheál Martin's biggest wallop since he returned to office in 2020, because Jim Gavin was his big secret project for the summer, and he looked very smug indeed when he foisted the name on a surprise Fianna Fáil very late in the day, and there was a spirited campaign campaign for Billy Kelleher, but it ultimately they wouldn't go against the leadership. And that means that any threat to him in terms of leadership is going to be tempered by the fact that any potential rivals also backed Jim Gavin publicly, even if Jim O'Callaghan, the Minister for Justice, took his sweet time at it. And that there is a budget this week. It's tomorrow, in fact, but a tectonic shift underneath Fianna Fáil is going to dominate their day-to-day. Unless we all become engrossed in the wet blanket of a budget. But it's very unlikely. So far, it's been pitched in the press as a giveaway for hotels, and none of the tax cuts that the government parties promised us in the election campaign last November. And on top of this, the Taoiseach has to decide whether he's going to endorse one candidate. What a fine mess he has made for himself. For the rest of us, there's a bit of entertainment, isn't there? A friend texted last night saying, between this a sensational election now and the traitors, Ireland, RTE is back, baby. Funny we could say. As regards, by the way, the international coverage, Jim Gavin's exit is the second most read story on the BBC news site this morning. Have a little check now to see if it's still there. It's out to third now, third most read on their international site, which is read worldwide. Trump at the top there, a Russian story, and then Jim Gavin. So you never see the presidency being read internationally. So that is quite something. Not exactly what they would have looked for. And the wider political fallout continued because Morning Ireland has had quite a stormy hour there, because Billy Kelleher, who's the MEP that lost out to Jim Gavin in the selection contest within Fianna Fáil, has said the selection of Jim Gavin was a serious miscalculation, cannot be swept under the carpet. Decisions that were made must have consequences. And they had Jack Chambers on just now as well. And he didn't say very much, did he? But he should be focusing on the budget, which will come to us to in a second. But the analysis from the press is quite interesting. Fionnuala Sheehan, who broke that story on Saturday, he says, Jack Chambers now has the distinction of running the most ludicrous campaign in his party's history, one in which the candidate didn't even make it to polling day. You see, sometimes failure can trip a lot of people up. Pat Leahy in the Irish Times, the departure of Jim Gavin tells us one more thing about politics, how tough it is. The fierce glare of public and media scrutiny proved too much. People who think anyone could be a politician should reflect on Gavin's demise and consider whether that's really true. Yeah, imagine that. It is easier to win the first five All-Irelands in a row in football than run for president, essentially, now, isn't it? And Bob Geldof and Michael Flatley must be saying, phew! But there'll be others kicking themselves for not running, and more of them may be furious that they were overlooked for Jim Gavin. I couldn't possibly comment to those people might be, but it's enough to say the gloom is after getting gloomier, lads. 51551. We have a solid show for you today. We're meeting the retired state pathologist, Dr. Mary Cassidy. Glaswegian, Glasgow woman, came to Dublin to do one of the very hardest jobs in our justice system, and she did it with great dignity and skill and became a household name, which she always found odd and unexpected. But she has turned in towards it by writing a couple of books. There was a great memoir from 5 years ago, then she went into crime fiction, and she has a follow-up. She's sticking with the crime novels, and we're going to discuss that today. It's called Deadly Evidence, and she went into dancing, of course, as well. So I'm looking forward to hearing how retirement is going for Mary Cassidy, especially as she went from her job at a younger age. Could you blame her, says you, because it was a tough job, wasn't it? And the texts are coming in. Rose says, can't wait for Callan's Kicks. It was a hup and a manaw. Like, you could barely turn away from it. You don't know what's going to happen from one minute to the next. Len says, they should have called Bob Geldof. He would have been a great president. And Mark says, as a younger Irish citizen, the past few weeks of, and they're going into the base. I'm not sure, actually, I can go into that full text on the kind of tenure of the campaign. You have to be very, you have to be on a quarterback. Now, on the budget, by the way, which is happening tomorrow, was the main story on that. There's going to be a permanent €500 cut to student fees. Remember the story that went on and on for the summer when the Minister for Higher Education, James Lawless, and said that reduction in the fees that you pay would not be repeated this year, as they have been in cost of living measures. And then Simon Harris says, no, 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 we've got to look into that. And so now the leak is a permanent €500 cut to those third level fees will be included in the budget as last ditch negotiations over allocations for various government departments continue. And that's in the Irish Times. So that is kind of like a fudgy victory for one side on the other and so on. Not sure. It's such a confusing story. But €500, it won't do much. is about three. It's gone up and up and up. Our inverted commas free third level education doesn't really exist. They call it the contribution fee, but you're paying your fees, aren't you? I know it's lower than what they would be if you're paying full fees, but anyway, I want to chat to you about Drogheda as well. It's in the press this morning because there's a man called Anthony Murphy in Drogheda, and he's been campaigning to get Drogheda turned into a city. Why? Well, it means more money and better administration for this booming town. So the 2022 census showed that Drogheda's population was 44,000, right? In this kind of hotbed of a town where the River Boyne meets the sea. It's a very, very interesting place. He says it's no longer 44,000. Going by the number of residential units constructed since that census, the population is now about 52,000. Imagine 8,000 increase in only 3 years. He says every challenge is an opportunity when you have to look at Limerick, where he says the investment of $1 billion there because it was a city has transformed the place. Well, that is true. Limerick is a buzzing place at the minute. He also says the abolition of the borough council, and this was to do with the Troika and the cuts that were happening around 2014, says the town's local authority administration moved to Dundalk, where there's 43,000 people living. I didn't know Drogheda was being run from Dundalk, and apparently bits of it are in Cavan as well, the administration of the place. The time has come, he says, for people of Drogheda to regain management over the town's affairs as the numbers moving in increase massively, while the issues of dereliction and traffic management cause concern locally. Because I know when the FLA came, everyone said, this is incredible, I love Drogheda. When they take away the cars, it's a beautiful little medieval streets to go through. But of course, the cars are back and they don't know what to do with themselves. So they're not just looking for the declaration of Drogheda as a city, but the introduction of a city administration moved back to Drogheda with its very own budget. And what a history the place has. You immediately think of, and people will think of St. Oliver Plunkett, won't they? But I think of Cromwell. It's the dark bit of the history. Mid 17th century, Cromwell lands and he does his most bloody deeds in Drogheda with the, it was a royalist stronghold, you see. So he bombed the place with cannons and then he stormed the town. Sack the town is what you have to use. No one does any sacking anymore. That's purely from the Middle Ages and what followed slaughter. And he later wrote in his hand that it was justified because it was the righteous judgment of God, all the horrific. And they've never really, they wouldn't be joking about it. We'll put it that way in Drogheda. But they rebuilt itself and it was a booming town with brewing and I think there was a linen industry at one stage and they made loads of sweets. There's honey and everything and they had lots of stuff. And of course they have the head of the martyr, St. Oliver, who I'm named after in St. Peter's Church sitting there. And there's the door to the prison as well, which I find fascinating. And I'm glad they've kept their heads and kept it on display because it is amazing. And it's the gateway to Newgrange with all the thousands of years of heritage there and Monaster Boyce as well. And a hell of a place for a FLA. So if you're passionate about Drogheda, sure, like, get in touch with us, why don't you? 51551. Taylor Swift is in all the news as well, as you'd expect. Lots of Taylor Swift stuff because they're saying that her new album contains a song that is basically a diss track towards Charlie XCX of the Brat Summer fame, and that a diss track is basically you trash talk somebody. And Taylor Swift came out with some notes and said this song, which is actually romantic, she said it's about a one-sided adversarial relationship. This is being interpreted as it's not a diss track of Charlie XCX, but doesn't really quite clarify that or not. So this is what people who don't want kind of serious news or facts about the miserable world we're in at the moment, they're focusing on this. But in terms of Hollywood and the industry and the conglomerate that is Taylor Swift, this is fascinating. The box office, you always get this report from what the Americans spent their money in cinemas over the weekend. And this promotional event, it's not a film, not a documentary, not even a concert, promotional event, 90 minutes long, to launch the album she put in cinemas, and they went out in cinemas in Ireland, and it's only 3 days long, it doesn't continue. It went to number one in the American box office, made 33 million there, and another 13 million. She made $50 million over the weekend over this one event where the Swifties, the military wing of Gen Z, as I like to call them, went dancing in the cinemas and so on, and destroyed films, including by the film starring the world's biggest movie people, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock and Leonardo DiCaprio. And it earned a huge amount of money. The Rock His new wrestling drama, The Smashing Machine, is getting amazing reviews and is potentially Oscar-worthy and so on. Bombed an estimated $6 million with over 3,000 theatres, which is a huge distribution, and is the worst start of his career, despite the performance being praised and so on. But Taylor, Tay-Tay, and I think she's trying to break a record for the biggest selling album since Adele. But there you go. And also, if you saw Graham Norton late on Friday, you would have noticed Cillian Murphy, because people are watching him going, he doesn't know how to react to any of the Taylor Swift stuff. He said he's going, I'm a serious man, serious actor. I'm just going to kind of half smile at some of the things. And the people are pointing out that he showed a distinct lack of interest as she was showing off the diamond ring in particular. Cillian could not have cared less, as people looked like he couldn't give a shiz and so on. And I don't know. He doesn't know what to do with himself when he's up against the kind of absolute juggernaut of showbiz that is Taylor Swift there, I suppose. I like this artist. I'm going to start with Ray this morning. 51551 is the text. Hope she finds them. That's Ray. Good tune. Mary says, great and insightful with Claire Keegan at the Echoes Festival on Saturday. Wonderful day out. Mary's from Limerick. Thank you very much. Had a great day. That was the Maeve Binchy Echoes Festival, which happens every year in Dalkey, County Dublin, amid the tumult outside. And we had Claire Keegan on stage. And I was rereading her work in the last while. And it's a lovely place to dwell. She's a very serious writer, very serious voice. And her passion is teaching creative writing to her students for 30 years, which she still does. But she's very funny. She's very funny when you get her on stage. And by the way, she adores horses. I think that's her passion in life. Horses, farming and paragraphs. In that order, roughly. Doesn't get too excited about the film versions of her work. And she was very matter-of-factly talking about, oh, I got an email there from Emily Blunt, who's doing the movie version of Walk the Blue Fields. And there were gasps in the whole room. Oh, yeah, it's Emily Blunt for the one. Like, the Emily Blunt. Yes, that one. Walk the Blue Fields, if you don't know it, it's a very, very dramatic short story. It's a wedding day where the priest is harbouring violet secrets, shall we say, as he's drinking his whiskies deep, and he's put on the dud table at the wedding reception. And it's just, you can see that making a really, really good film, because I remember reading that story and going, I want a full novel of this, but we're going to get the film now. As I said, Claire Keegan, serious person, really great crack when you get chatting to her. And it's a lovely festival down there. Well done to Henrietta McCurvey and Margaret, who we deal with down there over the last couple of years. So good old crack. And sure, we'll have more crack as well after the break with Dr. Mary Cassidy. Don't go away.
Text 51551. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.